we begin the chapter on the parables. 13th chapter of Matthew is sometimes called the Discourse of Parables because that chapter has a bunch of parables, and this is the beginning of it. So here we have not only the introduction to Jesus speaking in parables in general, but then the first parable in the discourse, that is the parable of the different kinds of soil. Now we're going to be hearing about parables for the next couple of days, and actually into next week. So it might be good to stop for a moment and think about why the Lord uses this method. Pretty frequently I run into the objection that God doesn't communicate very well, that he doesn't speak clearly. If he wants us to know something, why doesn't he just tell us and then we'll know? Why does he have to use symbols and parables and indirect language and all this sort of thing? In fact, some people use the argument that there is no God, or if there is a God, he's not very interested in making himself known because he doesn't speak clearly. Well, that is connected to this question about why Jesus uses parables. It's not that he is trying to be obscure, or that he's not trying to communicate. He chooses a way that is most effective for his audience, that's us. And he knows that we don't easily take in new things. We don't learn that quickly or that well. And so he uses a method that has this, that's specially adapted to us. Maybe to make sense of this, you could think about the angels. When God speaks to the angels, they immediately know what he says. Then they immediately say yes to it, or if they're fallen angels, they immediately reject it. There's no process of understanding it, figuring it out, trying to decide what to do. The angels are pure spirit, right? Pure intellect and will, pure spirit. So there's nothing to interfere with, immediate response. So when, not the angels don't know everything, but what they know completely. So it's clear. And what they don't know at all. It hasn't been shown to them. We're not like that. We're not like that. That's just the way it is. As human beings, we know some things, we forget some things, we get distracted, we have to hear it again. There's a whole process that is involved in absorbing truths, which is why education takes as long as it does. I mean, if all it took was tell a child, whatever, 4 times 6 is 24 or something, tell him once and he remembers it, you never have to drill him on his mathematics and, you know, multiplication tables. You don't have to make people learn how to spell or memorize whatever dates, because once they learn it, they learn it. But that is not how we learn. We're more like soil, and the word of God is like a seed, and the seed does not immediately spring into a full-blown plant as soon as it's given to us. In the angels, it does. I think it's helpful. Maybe you don't think about angels, but it's a helpful comparison. God doesn't speak to the angels in parables. He doesn't. He just reveals truth, and that's it. It's like turning on a light. But to us, sometimes we're asleep, sometimes we have a fallen nature, so we're lazy, we're proud, we have attachments, and you know, there's all kinds of things. So the parables are adapted to people like us, soil like us. It's actually a sign of God's great patience. You can imagine how he experiences the difference between angels and men. When he wants the angels to know something, he just tells them and they know it and they do it instantly. And it doesn't take any patience, it just happens. But when he reveals something to us, even the most profound things, even the the truths about our own identity, our vocation, our eternal destiny, and things that are so important. He patiently repeats it and draws us and forgives us when we get off track. Okay, so that's a little bit of background why we have parables. Actually, Jesus explains in the next few verses of Matthew's Gospel why he speaks in parables, but we're not going to get that because tomorrow is the Feast of St. James, and so we have special readings tomorrow. But if you want to look it up, you could look up Matthew 13, starting with verse 10, and it explains, well, it's because of the problem of human nature why he has to speak in parables, because people don't, they're not listening, and they don't even want to know sometimes. Let's look at this parable of the sower. You know this one very well, the four different kinds of soil. This is an indication to us of what we're like, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we don't pay any attention. Sometimes we're footpaths. Sometimes we're afraid. We've got, you know, hardness, resistance. Sometimes we have other interests. I often think that the image of the seed among the thorns is the most relevant to the era of social media, because people's minds are filled with distractions from social media. They're constantly being exposed to different ideas, images, and interruptions from social media. That's like the thorn. They're just choking off the word, which is why it's valuable to take time aside. So it's precious to take time aside in our own personal prayer time and in our communal prayer, like in the liturgy. Say, well, yeah, all that stuff is going on, but we're not looking at our phone right now. We're not listening to social media right now. Right now we're listening to the word, giving it space. Okay, so the thorns, and then the rich soil. The rich soil, which even itself is various. Sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 30-fold. Meaning, we're complex creatures, and we're complex soil. But the Lord, with great patience, with great generosity, is showering seeds on us all the time. This is a terrible description of farming because it's such a waste. But it's a great description of how God speaks to us. We might complain he doesn't speak clearly to us. Actually, the problem is not on his side. He's speaking as clearly as he can, as repeatedly as he can, as powerfully as he can, and he's dealing with imperfect soil. If you think of the lives of the saints, very good soil, You know, there are many stories of them understanding quickly what God wants. Revelations. Sometimes saints get just powerful revelations. Yesterday we had Saint Bridget of Sweden. She had revelation after revelation after revelation. She wrote it all down. Why did she have that? Well, because she's good soil. If God gave us a revelation, probably forget about it, or we wouldn't even notice. So that's it. We're different kinds of soil. Now, the liturgy puts this passage together with the beginning of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, which makes it possible for us to evaluate the kind of soil that someone else is, namely Jeremiah. I'm always cautious about doing this because the parable of the soil is not meant for us to be pointing at everybody and identifying what kind of soil they are. It's about us. So there's always a danger in turning that onto others. But it is helpful to have examples. And here Jeremiah is set before us. The saints too. Saint Charbel is good soil, says today's saint. Very good soil. But it's not up to us to determine what kind of soil other people are. But here's Jeremiah. He receives the word. The word of the Lord came to me. Okay, there's a seed. And the word is, I know you, I've always known you, I've chosen you, I've appointed you, you're my prophet. So, pretty big seed. Very, very fruitful seed planted in Jeremiah. And his first reaction is, ah, Lord God, I know not how to speak. I'm too young. Okay, so it's not footpath. It's not, I don't care, I'm not listening to you. That would be footpath. I'm not even going to pay any attention to you. That's footpath. No, it's objection. Now, is that rocky soil or thorny soil? I don't know. Because rocky soil represents the fear of persecution, right? A difficulty. And the thorny soil represents a worldly interference. So kind of negative and positive. Rocky soil is problems involved with living by the word, and the thorny soil represents other things that attract us and distract us. So what is it in the case of Jeremiah? It's not that clear, but if you know Jeremiah's story later on, he does complain a lot about how hard his mission is. So that sounds like rocky soil. The persecution is making it difficult and I don't like it. So that's the danger of becoming rocky soil. So his first reaction, his natural reaction is a little bit rocky. But the Lord plants another seed. No, don't be rocky. Don't say you're too young. Don't depend on yourself or look at your experience only. Look at what I'm doing. I'm the one who has chosen you. I'm the one who's appointed you. I knew you before you were even in the womb, and I'm the one sending you. So don't be afraid because you're too young, because you're not qualified. I'm the one who's deciding that you're qualified. You're, according to my standards, you're the one. And then he touches his mouth. I place my words in your mouth. It's not up to you, it's up to me. And we know that experience of Jeremiah allowed him to be very good soil. So it's not that Jeremiah was perfect. He had his nature, he had his fears, and he's quite open about them. But he's still good soil. So it's a reminder to us that our nature, which seems to disqualify us, or maybe our past sins, or maybe even our current bad practice and bad habits, we say, well, that disqualifies me. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. God keeps showering seeds on us and making it possible for us to be good soil. It's all up to Him. But we have to cooperate. So, I will be reflecting more on seeds in the days to come, and soil, and parables, and how we respond. But we at least have these basic truths in mind. The Word is like a seed, and we are soil of different kinds. But because of God's choice, because of God's power, because of His mercy, because of His generosity, we can become better and better soil if we yield to Him. We open ourselves to the power of His Word.